So I wanted to talk a little bit about the mind and how it works and how our consciousness is connected not only within ourselves and then outside of ourselves. So when you think of consciousness, typically we think of just our brain and our thoughts, and that is our total consciousness. But there's actually a couple different types of consciousness going on. There's the front of the mind, which is the consciousness that we operate in on a daily basis. There's the back of the mind, which is often called the subconscious. But then there is the collective human consciousness versus what we would call higher consciousness or universal consciousness. So when we break those down, what's happening is, if you can imagine, just within our own brain, we have the front of the mind that operates our day-to-day stuff. It's when we're awake, we're thinking and critical thinking and intellectual understanding. All that comes in through the front of the mind. And then everything that happens gets really stored in the back of the brain, and there's where all the tapes are running and old programming and the emotions and everything else that's going on that is there. But then there is even a deeper level of storage, which is in the body. And the body holds on to a lot of emotions. And throughout our lives, we've been able to store and pack these into the cellular level. And how they show up in a negative way is ailments, issues, knee problems, elbow problems, maybe an organ is causing you problems. So when people talk, or if you've ever heard people talk about anything as physical as an emotional condition as well, there is some truth to that, because when you think about what happens in your life and how it's stored in the subconscious, it's also stored in the physical conscious. Then on top of that, how we think in life, how we relate to life itself, that is our perspective. That's, as a human, what we've been taught, how we've learned, you know, the color red, blue, what a car is, even the word car, what that is associated to. All this stuff comes from a much bigger framework. And you could think of it as knowledge or information or education, but really, on the much bigger framework that we can't see, it's called the human collective consciousness. And everything we experience in life, everything we reference in life, comes from our drawing on this human collective consciousness. So if you can imagine the human collective consciousness, and if you could see it, it's imagine the Earth and then the Earth's atmosphere. And if you've ever seen any pictures of what the Earth's atmosphere looks like around the Earth, it's this cloudy kind of hazy ring that goes around the Earth, and that's where the ozone layer is, and all these different layers of gases. And from that place, that is what we would call our atmosphere. Now, if you could imagine an invisible collective human consciousness atmosphere, if you will, that encircles or encompasses the globe, and then whenever we want to seek knowledge or information or tap into emotions or experiences or feelings, we're tapping into that human collective consciousness, that grid, if you will. And that's just how we use to relate pain and suffering, happiness, joy, all the things that we do. The challenge with that is that all you're doing is really interpreting life through an interpretation of an interpretation of an interpretation of other humans and through the collective human experience. And there's not really a lot of original thought to that. There's not a lot of original experience to that. You're just interpreting things based on how you think they should be, based on how they were taught through this collective consciousness, or how you think they should be based on your interpretation of collective consciousness. So for example, if you think about yourself and your parents, I work with a lot of people who have this idea of what a parent should be and how they should act and what they should do for you or should have done for you growing up. And so that all is based off of an interpretation of how they not only personally experience their parent, but also how other people or the human collective teaches you how to experience parents. And I know growing up for me, there wasn't somebody saying, hey, a dad should be X, Y, and Z. But I do know when I was trying to create this experience with my father that wasn't working, I knew something wasn't matching. And so there was this tie-in to this collective human consciousness of how things should be that I was just tapping into. And when that didn't match what the experience I was having, then I thought something was wrong, or my dad wasn't good enough, or he didn't love me, and all these interpretations. And this is a very normal thing. And that's just one example of how, without realizing it, we're tapping in to this collective human consciousness. And it's a really interesting thing that we do. And we interpret everything from relationships and love and everything else. The challenge with only doing this is, again, it doesn't give us our original truth, a truth that goes beyond what just every human, layer after layer of human, has interpreted for us. Well, where's our original thought? Where is the original truth? Well, to get to that, you'd have to go above the collective human consciousness. You'd have to rise above this atmosphere, if you will, and go up into a much bigger space. You see, if we keep using that analogy and you think about the sun, when the sun shines down, we don't get pure sun. We get a diffused version of sun, a diffrayed or diffracted version of sun, because it has to pass through all these layers of gases in order to get to us. So What happens is the sun comes in, and if you imagine it hitting the atmosphere, and then it kind of disperses and it gets diffused, and you get a very much lower quality or lower strength sunlight than what you would if there was no atmosphere at all. When it comes to the collective human consciousness, this beautiful, pure information that comes in, it hits this atmospheric layer, if you will, the beautiful, pure information of the universe hits this collective human consciousness, and it also gets diffused. And the situation that happens as a result is we get a watered-down version of whatever a truth, a pure truth could be, and it's an interpretation off of interpretation and off of interpretation of thousands of generations of humans. So it's a really challenging thing. So if you take an example, if you want to really put this into a real context, think about love, okay? Love, from a universal standpoint, is this amazing, pure, unconditional experience. Love is this thing that can't be owned or controlled. It's not something that can be limited. And it's not something that if I love you, that it's conditional. Only I love you if you love me back, or if you do something for me, if you act a certain way or say a certain thing. So for me, the challenge becomes when we get these interpretations of love, for example, based on how we think it should be, how our dad should have loved us, or how our mom, or how our wife, or our husband, or our friend should treat us. And because they're not treating us these ways, then we don't love them a certain way. This is the challenge with the watered-down version of love. So our charge as humans, the goal for us, is to use visualization, meditation, whatever else you want to do, to go up, go beyond this atmosphere of collective human consciousness, and get into a bigger version, a higher version of love, one that hasn't been diffused or watered down or lessened, one kind of love that is from a higher consciousness. But that takes work. That takes practice. That takes desire and will, and it takes you having an intention of going beyond and above this human consciousness level to get to a bigger truth, a higher truth. And if you can do that, what happens is you get out of this, what I would call a hamster wheel of humanity, this cycle of humanity that's constantly happening. And it's kind of a crazy experience because we just keep repeating after repeating, and how many parents give to their children, and then their children repeat what their parents did. And how many times have you heard, like, oh man, I'm turning out exactly like my mom or my dad or whatever else. It's this constant loop, and it's the hamster wheel, and we just keep going through this process. And if we stick with love as an example, if we break out of the hamster wheel, which means we raise above collective human consciousness and don't go by human consciousness version of love, but go into a higher version of love, then all of a sudden you're getting a pure truth. And I can't give that to you. Nobody can give that to you. Only you can give that to yourself. And that's where the work comes in. That's where you have to find a way to raise your vibration And again, the way I know is through visualization work, through breath work, through working on the body, through tapping into the bigger back part of the brain and going up and going high, passing this collective human consciousness and going into a bigger existence, a bigger consciousness, where you can get to a more pure form of love, unconditional love, a love that you can share freely without expecting a response, without wanting somebody to do something for you in return. That's a magic thing. And if we can take other examples of pure truths like love and go up and get those as well and start to understand and break these things down, like money, for example, that's another amazing energy. And, you know, we've interpreted money as this paper bill, but that's just, again, human consciousness interpreting an energy of money. And basically then after generation, we now know money as this X, Y, and Z. And some people will say money is the root of all evil. Some people say that in order to gain money, you have to sacrifice. There's all these kinds of truths out there that collective human consciousness will tell you. But there is a bigger truth too. You know, money is meant to be something much bigger, much more beautiful. And in order to understand what that is, understand the partnership with money we're meant to have, again, one that can't be owned or controlled, but one we're meant to partner with, then we can understand from this much higher place what money really means to us. And we can, again, only create that truth. But it's just another example for people who are trying to quantify this concept of the higher consciousness from a more pure truth versus the collective human consciousness. So we want to really look at getting out of this hamster wheel, which means just not buying into everything that humans do and everything that humans say and just repeating that. Even this information now, go take it in, go up with it, make your own truth from it. But in order to do that, you have to really believe that you can get higher, bigger, connected, that you can operate from this bigger place. And when you do, all of a sudden, you're not just doing things for the sake of doing them just because everybody else does them. Now you're thinking through things. What does this mean to me? What is my truth in this? And all of a sudden now, you're not operating in this just cycle or this loop. You're starting to ask deeper questions. But that comes from thinking from this bigger part of the brain. And if even higher consciousness or universal consciousness is something tough for you to understand, think of it this way. There's the front of the mind and there's the back of the mind. The front of the mind is just how we think on a daily basis. And the back of the mind is this bigger, vast space that we can tap into, especially when we sleep. And if you think about when you sleep and you think about dreams and the dreams we can have some wild dreams. That comes from this bigger creative space, this bigger truth. And a lot of our dreams don't make sense in the human world, because they're not tapping into this human collective consciousness. They're tapping into something much bigger. So even if you just focus on breathing in through the nose, breathing out through the nose, pushing that breath out the back of the head and starting to expand that bigger consciousness out of the back of the brain, that is how you can start to expand into a bigger mind. The same mind you tap into when you dream, the same mind you tap into when you're sleeping and connecting to something much more magical. And then maybe that leads you somewhere higher, whatever higher means to you, or bigger, whatever bigger means to you. Or it just gets you out of this constant regurgitation of what people are saying and just repeating what they're saying and what they're doing. You can start stopping yourself and go, wait, how does that feel to me? And you don't have to know higher consciousness to stop and go, let me take a breath. Does that feel good to hear somebody say that? Does that feel like truth to me? Does that feel like I want to own that for myself? Because if we actually stop and we feel into ourselves and our bodies and our minds, we can actually get a bigger perspective, a bigger understanding, a bigger experience. So with that being said, how we move forward in this way is just understanding that we are repeating from a loop the hamster wheel, a cycle. If we can just start separating the human consciousness from the higher consciousness. Now, it's okay to think about things that human consciousness are tied to, like fear, doubt, worry. Our human brain, the human consciousness part of us, will always be in existence. As long as we're alive, that humanness will always be a part of us. So there's going to be times we have fear, doubt, worry, pain, and struggle can come from these places, but we're actually not meant to live in pain and struggle. That's a conversation for another time. But if we just think about the emotions, a lot of times we try to get rid of them or block them or do something to just get out of that space. But what if we accepted them? What if we understood them as just humanness, as a part of the collective consciousness that is just happening? And that's something that we don't have to fear or escape or run away from. What if we go, oh yeah, I'm feeling lack right now. I'm feeling sadness right now. I'm feeling, for whatever reasons, maybe you're going through a divorce, or maybe you just lost your job and you are really feeling a lack for money. Or if you're going through a divorce, you're just feeling a lot of pain in your heart because of just sadness and suffering you feel like from whatever's happening. It's okay to be human and to feel these experiences, but that doesn't have to be the only place you operate from. So whether you want to buy into these concepts or not, think about this. You're going to experience the humanness of life, but it doesn't have to be your only truth. That's what's really cool about this. While you're feeling fear, doubt, worry, there can also be another tape running. There can also be another experience that you're having, a dual experience, one that's a human experience and one that's a back of the mind experience, or you could call it a higher self experience. And that back of the mind, that higher self experience, could be one that is telling you that, you know what, you've always figured it out. All your life, you've always figured it out. You're going to figure this out too. This back of the mind could be telling you, you know what, yeah, this is scary as a human, but as a bigger self, you know that you're going to get through this, that it's okay. Trust in yourself, trust in this path. And I see a lot of people trying to run from their humanness, and that doesn't serve anyone. And I see a lot of people trying to escape into this bigger place and magical place and not deal with it. And then I see a lot of people just completely immersed in the humanness altogether because they can't understand anything else. But all those variations really don't work. The best thing you can do in understanding this human consciousness is that it's always going to be a part of our lives. And that collective human consciousness, so we have our own mind and our own thoughts based on our own experiences, but then we're tied to this bigger experience of human consciousness. That's always going to exist in us, and it's okay. How big is it in your life? How big does it exist? How much space does it take up? For most people, it takes up most of their space, 90, 95% of their space. But there's others where, as they work through things and grow, it takes up a lot less. And I have really lived in that example. You know, for most of my life, that took up all my space. Anger, frustration, issues with money, relationships. You know, I've had a lot of choices I've made to create a lot of pain and suffering in my life. And, you know, in every cylinder of my life, I struggled. Physically, my body was broken down. All my relationships, I kept failing relationship after relationship. No matter how much money I made, I never had any money to anything or any money to really show for it. So it was kind of a crazy thing. And then once I started to work on myself and grow myself, and I started connecting to a much different truth, a bigger truth, a truth that was a much bigger representation of who I was versus just who I was being, that's when things started changing. But just because now I've grown and I've worked on myself so much, and I've gotten to this beautiful place of amazing connection, but I'm also human too. And this fears, doubts, worries, they show up from time to time. But now, because I'm living in a bigger existence, they're so small that they don't throw me off. They don't derail me. I no longer have these crazy anger outbursts or the rage that I used to exist in for a large part of my life. I'm just in this beautiful space where I'm like, oh yeah, there's that fear, or there's that doubt, or there's that worry. It's okay. I just allow myself to let go and just let that be. And then remind myself, I have a bigger truth. I am a bigger truth. And then all the personal work that I've done to get to this bigger truth and to know who I am on this much bigger level, that shows up really big. No matter how much I do this work, there's always going to be more as a human we can get to. We'll never get enough. We'll never connect high enough. We'll never grow enough to where we're like, oh, we've got it all figured out. So my whole goal is to continue to reach higher. My whole goal is to continue to get above the clouds as consistently as possible, to let this humanness that's in me be really, really a small representation of me, and this higher selfness, this unconditional love, this bigger partnership, not only with life itself, but with the journey of us in this bigger universe, and then the journey of us in this bigger earth, to let that be the bigger representation of who I am. So as you think about this and you start to think about your life, ask yourself some questions. How much are you just tapping in to not only the experience of your own human consciousness over time, creating whatever truths it's created about men or about women or about money or about whatever else it is? It could be a bazillion things. And then ask yourself how much you're just buying into because the human consciousness collective says this is truth. This is how it should be. This is how things are. And then challenge yourself, once you ask those questions and get that perspective, challenge yourself to go above it. Challenge yourself to get higher in this bigger version of you, this bigger connection of you. And what is real truth to you? Not just what you've been told all your life, but what resonates with you? How does it feel in your mind and your body? And then when you do, all of a sudden, when you start tapping into like a bigger form of love or a bigger form of understanding of another topic, and you breathe that in, it doesn't just go into the back of your mind and into the front of your mind. It goes into your body, and you start replacing the old, heavy, emotional stuff in your body with this higher vibrational, beautiful stuff that can just be really magical. And then for me, what that did was I started healing myself physically. I had a broken back. I couldn't move around for more than 5 minutes without my sciatic nerve just flaring. All that stuff's gone now because I chose to remove the emotional stuff and the truths that I had. And some of the biggest issues for me was female issues, especially mom issues, and they were all personally inflicted, and then money issues. And that the lower back is a huge part of those two things. And so for me, that rang true. And as I healed those areas of my life, and my body healed. And so I was able to pull all that into my bigger truth and make that my bigger story versus just the truth that I was never going to be able to run again, and I was never going to be able to just do the things I like to do again. And all this healing, by the way, came without any procedures, without any medical procedures. It was just pretty magical and pretty amazing. So as you start to look at maybe the physical ailments that are going on in your body and see how those things are showing up in your life, that's your body talking to you, that you're storing emotions, programming, feelings, experiences, humanness in you, that your body's trying to get your attention to look at. So what are those? Go find your truth in that, and go find a higher truth. And I know I'm asking you to go figure something out on your own, but it's not just that. I have resources on my website that are free. There's people out there that have some great knowledge. Louise Hay, she recovered from breast cancer and went on to live a very long and healthy life. And she has a book talking about how emotions can affect our body, and then even gives a guide of what emotions generally correlate to what areas of the body. And there's some great, beautiful information there, but you still got to take all this stuff and make it your own truth. So there's resources out there when you start looking, and you can start to find different experiences on your own. So when you listen to this and you start to take some notes and you start to really step back and think from this bigger mind and kind of paint this vision, explore and see how far you can go with this concept, it's a great opportunity.